Well, many Wisconsinites don't put their grills away because it gets cold. And how about cooking some of your Thanksgiving dinner on the grill? Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. And who better to talk turkey about Thanksgiving than nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologist Mad Dog and Merrill. They're the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', and they've written several cookbooks. They've got some great spices that they can provide for you, and they make many appearances around this state and others as well. Mad Dog, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Larry. Great. Thanks for having us. Happy Turkey Day coming up soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Merrill, thank you for joining us as well.
Yes, sir. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
That's the best
gobble, gobble. Mad Dog knows that I can't do a good gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble.
That's a pretty good gobble.
Dang it all, that's the best gobble I've heard him say in 38 years. He normally can.
Yeah, he just loves my gobble, gobble, gobble.
And by the way, we traced our ancestors back to Noah's Ark when they put two grillers on the ark.
Oh, boy.
It was us. It was Mad Dog and Merrill.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, as we talk with these two guys, and believe me, despite what you're hearing right now, they know a heck of a lot about grilling. And we can talk about what's traditional and maybe not so traditional, the holiday foods that we can cook on the barbecue. And, of course, we'd like to have you join in with your questions and comments or maybe your own ideas. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, do you guys grill any of your holiday meals?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask. We yesterday just filmed two back-to-back shows, half-hour shows at Heritage Hill State Park in Green Bay, and it was on holiday grilling.
Oh, perfect.
So how apropos that we're on today.
Yes.
Well, now, did you do a turkey?
Believe it or not, we did do a turkey.
Yep.
The whole turkey, or did you do chop it up?
No, I actually did a whole turkey on the grill. Very simple on this one is that we just I just basically rubbed it with some peanut oil. Very simple. I stuffed it just with a little bit of onion and a half of an orange and placed it on the grill. I actually grilled it on the pellet grill at 350 degrees. Nothing fancy about it or anything, but it came out really nice and juicy. I mean, people have a tendency to always cook turkey or make it sound like turkey so complicated to do, especially on the grill.
But it's not. Well, you used a pellet grill.
Right. We used a pellet grill, which is really nice because it's digitally controlled. You just push the temperature that you want and place the turkey on there. You don't have to worry about anything.
I kind of like that part about you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, you know, it turned out just lovely. And during the show, Merrill showed how to do the turkey the simple way. And I did a brine and I did an injectable. So we showed a couple of different ways that you can actually add moisture, add flavor to the bird along the way. And it kind of helps to make it moister in the breast cavity, which seems to always dry out first. You know, the breast you cook to about 165, but you got to make sure those thighs are and the bone area down below are done to 175-ish, so that always makes the breast a little harder to keep moist.
So the brine helps, or, you know, does it help to put aluminum foil over the breast?
It helps to tent it to black, to keep it from blackening and drying out. Sure, it does. We'll say yes, it does.
All right. And you guys, well, I'm wondering about this for, you know, I was kind of joking about the DNA of the turkey, but the turkey that you get, what do you guys look for when you go to buy a turkey?
I like going to the fresh turkey. I really do. I think it just really makes a difference. It's fresh. You know exactly what you're getting. Nothing wrong with the frozen turkeys, but I spend the extra bucks and go to the fresh turkey.
So here's the problem with frozen turkeys a lot of time. You have to look at the sodium content because when I inject it or when I put a brine, especially a brine is just nice sodium. That's like kosher salt or sea salt. That adds some sodium to it. Plus it adds the flavor and the moisture. But some turkeys that are frozen already have a solution within them that, I don't want to say adds weight and adds moisture, but it does, and it adds weight to it. But it already has sodium content to it, so you have to be careful. Like when I did the injection, I did sodium-free chicken broth. I went and bought sodium-free chicken broth. We had a little bit of our number one barbecue sauce, you know, about a quarter cup. And then we added some white wine to it. And then our syringe that went into it was big enough at the end that we could add a little bit of our garlic pepper blend, our Grilling Magic, to make some flavor to it too. But you got to be careful of the birds you buy if you're going to add sodium to it, because it might already have it in there.
All right. And how long, let's say you got a 12-pound bird, which is probably a pretty common weight.
Right.
What's the length of time?
You know, it was amazing that this one that I had done yesterday happened to be a 40-pounder, and really, I did it just a little bit over 2 hours. But the most important thing, which we've talked about hundreds of times on your show, is you got to use a meat thermometer so you know that you get the right doneness. You really can't trust the little pop-up turkey things, because a lot of times you'll definitely overcook your turkey.
Yeah, and a good meat thermometer. Which one do you use?
I use a good one. Actually, I use the Pit Boss grill. Automatically just tells you exactly what the temperature is right when you stick it in.
Yeah, we hate to get commercialized, but I'll tell you what. On our television show, we have Louisiana grills and pellet grills and the Pit Boss. The Pit Boss has so many great accessories. I mean, it's just a go-to for everything that we want to use. It has the roast holders. It had the meat thermometers. It's got a throne, which is like the beer butt you could use. You know, it's a nice ceramic holder that you can put like a beer butt turkey on top of there and stuff like that. And it just has so many great things. It's unbelievable. But so that's a great way to do it. I mean, it's just a nice idea.
Yeah.
We also did a beautiful ham. We did a gorgeous ham on the grill, created a beautiful glaze. We cooked that ham to about 150 degrees or about an hour and a half. You know, it's already been cured, but Meryl scored it, put some cloves on it. We baked it for about half the time period. Then we made a beautiful glaze with crushed pineapple and cherry preserves and peach preserves all mixed together with a little lime and brown sugar, and that turned out delicious.
It was. But later on, Maddox's going to tell you that his corn, what would you call that recipe that you did yesterday?
You know, grillology, that's grillology, Larry, is when you experiment. and there's a cornbread casserole out there that you put cream corn and regular corn and sour cream, melted butter. We put some dried cherries, green top onions, packets, about four or five packets. I made two skillets full of the corn, that Jiffy cornbread muffin mix.
Yep.
And we just blended that whole thing together, and it looked like a sloppy mess. We poured it in those nice, beautiful Pit Boss skillets, cast iron skillets. We put them on a 350 oven on the pellet grill, and we baked them for about 40 minutes, and about 30 minutes into it, they started bubbling away. It looked like a witch's brew. And then all of a sudden, they started just firming up gorgeously. And it was one of the most sweetest, delicious little casseroles you ever want in your life, with the
corn
in there and the sour cream and the cream corn. It was delicious.
It was. That's one of those where I'm watching him do it. It's like, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. We were doing this on television, man.
I know.
It came out great. It was
we also wanted to do a garlic smashed potatoes. So we put Wisconsin Yukon Golds on the grill, and we got them nice and tender, and they're kind of crispy on the outside because you cook them on the grill. And then we put them on a sheet pan where I diced up a whole bunch of I finished off my herbal garden outside and diced up everything from rosemary to thyme to oregano to mint, and diced that all up, kind of laid it on the sheet pan. Then I put those hot potatoes on top. We smashed each one. I melted a full pound of butter, four sticks. I threw in a whole jar of jarred garlic. We added a little white wine in there and a couple other things. That wasn't much more. But we drizzled that over the top of those smashed potatoes on that sheet pan. You know, it was a sheet pan with a lip.
Yeah.
So we drizzled over the melted butter with the garlic over the top of those baked potatoes that were smashed. And then I grated Asiago cheese over the top. And then we put them back on the grill for about 20 minutes, you know, offset a little bit indirect for the pellet grill. And my God, that there was no butter left in the pan. It was all absorbed in those little spuds.
Oh, boy, you're making me hungry.
Now, that's great.
How big are these pellet grills that you have? If you think a sheet pan, you had to be like a quarter sheet pan, right?
It was a half sheet. So I'm going to say it again. Louisiana is probably one of the there's some nice name brands out there. Their sister company's Pit Boss. Louisiana Grills, they got a 1200 series and they got a 800. The 1200's a honker. It's a nice big pellet grill. It's heavy. The pellet bin holds 29. I'm not going to get carried away. 29 pounds of pellets. that's just to get it the grill going and moving and stuff like that. But it holds 29 pounds of pellets. But you can get easily get a 24, 25 pound bird on there if you needed to. You know, a big 20 pound bird on there. It's a great the pellet grills in general. And then it's got a lever that you switch over, and you got a sear station. It actually pops over right where the burner is, and you have a gaps there. And you get 1,000-degree surface temperature for searing. So you can do, like, reverse sears and stuff like that right on the pellet grill. It's just unheard of nowadays. We've seen Larry, you and I and Merrill have seen the evolution of the grill industry.
Well, you know, here I'm sitting with my Weber grills. I got two large Weber grills, charcoal grills, which I still like using charcoal.
Yeah.
And I've got a gas grill. I think I told you once I paid more than I did for my first car. It's a large, It's a large one. So I figured I was all in ready to go for having a bunch of people for a Thanksgiving dinner, and I could do the whole darn thing on the grill.
You've got it. That's the whole fun thing of grilling, whether you're charcoal, a pellet head, you know, gas grills, even electric grills. That's what it's all about. Is whatever your preference is, you go to it. You know, you go for it. You know, that's great.
Well, you know, it's amazing that about 5 years ago when we were on with you, we couldn't believe the Komodo style grills, those inch and a half of ceramics and everything else. But you know, they're still great, and the people that use them swear by them. But you still have to use natural lump charcoal. You're working with it, and you're moving vents. And I'm sorry, but that pellet grill for us people, well, we're getting old, but for the kids in the market that are just coming into it, when they can digitally control on an app on their phone and they can raise and lower the temperature, they can check the temperature of a pork butt roast on the grill from their computer on their house, you know, they got her made. That's the evolution of the grill industry, Larry.
Yeah. Ben and I just got to figure it out.
Okay. Well, they figured out a whole lot, Mad Dog and Merrill, and they're going to be with us right up till 12:30 today, and you're going to have a chance to join in with your own thoughts about grilling, and especially for Thanksgiving. I wonder if these guys ever have done a green bean casserole on the grill. We'll find out, but first we have to take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. You can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller with Mad Dog and Merrill here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with Wisconsin's own grill masters, Mad Dog and Merrill, back with us. They entertain and educate grillers through their personal appearances, their TV show, which is titled Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', and their many cookbooks and spices, and they're into a lot of different things here. So, do you have a question about grilling, or maybe an experience to share about a particular thing that you've grilled for, maybe for Thanksgiving? Join the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, we've got Bob and Wapaka just joining us. Let's go there. Bob, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon now. Good afternoon. Two quick questions. In smoking a brisket on the big green egg, after it's trimmed, do you put that fat side down or fat side up? And the second question is, when that is done, wrapped up and rested in a cooler, how long can we let that go before we, what's the maximum amount of time we can go before we cut that up? Can we go like 6, 7, 8 hours?
Good questions. That's always a big controversy of fat side up or fat side down. And you know what? It's your choice. I like using it fat side up. There's a lot of people think that it should be fat side down. So that's an iffy question there. But I do mine fat side up. But a lot of people think that if you go ahead and put it fat side down, that that way that you've got the juices and stuff are coming down to the fat side. But it's a 50-50 choice on that. As to wrapping it, you usually wrap it probably around 165 degrees, you know, and then place it back on the grill until it gets up to 205. It can stay in that cooler as long as you'd like it to. 6 hours is fine in there because it'll still maintain the heat for it.
There you go, Bob. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org. Why do you personally like the fat side up?
I personally like it because I agree that actually that the juices are coming in, you know, into the meat. And that's just a personal, you know, preference for me on there.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense, don't it?
Yeah. But, I mean, other people do think, oh, it's got to be fat side down. So it's the griller's choice. It really is.
You know what's amazing is yesterday when we taped the two shows, the first show we did the turkey, and we pretended that Aunt Edna didn't show up, and the turkey was ready. So we wrapped the turkey in double aluminum foil. We set it inside of a cooler. I put a towel down in the bottom of the cooler, so in a couple of reasons, just to keep everything safe and moist and everything else. And you can put that in that cooler, and we put it in there for about an hour and a half while we taped the other show with the ham. And when we brought it out, the turkey was just absolutely fine, moist, and everything else. So we did the same principle with the turkey just because Aunt Edna didn't show up.
Darn that Aunt Edna.
She's always late.
Every year.
Oh, man. Hey, have you guys ever done, it sounds like you have, you talked about that cornbread casserole, but I would like to do a traditional, you know, the traditional stuffing that we have with that Thanksgiving. Do you ever do that on the grill?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing is don't stuff the bird. The bird likes to cook from the inside out. It's okay that Merrill put a half an orange and some onion in there, but that cavity is a place for heat to go and cook the turkey inside out. So the dressing never gets done before the breast is dried out. But get yourself a good Dutch oven. Man, we've got like three of them in the warehouse right now from the same company we've been mentioning. But the beautiful Dutch oven, you make that traditional stuffing, you put the cover on for the first 35, 40 minutes and then uncovered for the last 20. And it's the most delicious stuffing in the world, you know. And tradition, you know, what's tradition, Larry? You tell us yours.
Well,
you know, there's so many different stuffings out there, I guess is what I'm saying. Cornbread stuffing, there's wild rice stuffing, there's, you know, dried bread.
I usually use the dried bread one. You know, that's the one my mother always made.
Well, then that's tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I like. You know, I was thinking as I partook of some great cider, apple cider, the other day, which, you know, now it's kind of the season for it. And I thought to myself, you know, there must be a way to use cider in with maybe some root vegetables, perhaps. Is there a glaze or something that involves cider that you guys ever use?
You know, there's no reason you can't put in a small cast iron skillet some apple cider, add some butter, add some white wine in there and reduce it down a little bit and use it as a nice glaze for vegetables. You might have stumped us here. 38 years, you finally stumped us, Larry.
Well, I like using, you know, apple cider. I mean, I definitely like using it on anything, but my go-to, especially for ham and things like that, is just apple cider, a little bit of brown sugar, and then go ahead and add your cloves or whatever spices you like, but apple cider work out fine.
For glaze.
Yeah,
that sounds good. Well, now, just before the news break, I mentioned a green bean casserole.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a Thanksgiving dinner that didn't have a green bean casserole?
You know, am I the only one that just loves it, though?
I mean, like green
beans, cream of I put extra sliced mushrooms in there with the cream of mushroom soup and the green beans and put those little crispy things on top. And I love it. But I'll tell you what, I'm making that cornbread casserole over top of that. And instead of that, that was absolutely delicious. It was, we couldn't believe how well it turned out.
Oh, it was just unbelievable. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we move along, and can I just say, Larry, that I don't mean to get commercialized in life here, but this Saturday and also on the 5th, both Saturdays, we're at a grand opening. People can come out and see us at the Sendek store in Oconomowoc. We have a brand new Sendek store in Oconomowoc, and we're there from 11:30 until 1, and we're dragging along our piano man, so he's going to play some music. We're going to do a little stage show outside, and then Freddie's going to play some more music and they get a chance to win a Louisiana pellet grill. And that's at Oconomowoc at the Sendex Food Market. It's a grand opening this Saturday on tailgate and the following Saturday, the 5th, on holiday cooking.
And you even brought along a piano player.
Well, you know, you got to watch our show, Larry. Everybody asks, where's the piano man? Where's the piano man? So...
He's finally coming with us.
Boris in Wausau, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Boris.
Yeah, so thank you for taking the call. So I have a theory that I think the meat side should be up. A reason being that, let's say I get a brisket ready and inject it with spices, I will inject the spices into the deep of the meat and not into the fat layer. Because I think the proteins take up taste better than fat globules or whatever fat layers they are. Then if you have a hot grill, the fat will just, it'll go in the however indirect cooking, direct cooking you're doing. And so the fat will melt away. And so if I have the meat side up in either brisket or, baby backs or whatever, then I will spray them with spices, with dark beer, or whatever is the fancy of the day, and it sticks better to that, I think, than to fat. But this is, I am not a scientist. I am just a German that learned barbecue in the U.S., so that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Boris. Well, comment.
That man is correct for what the theory he's doing. If he's injecting moisture, he wants the moisture to stay. The fat's going to protect it to stay in. If he's misting it, so we tell people, Larry, and this is what this gentleman's doing. He's great. You go get a misting bottle from the garden center, and every competitor in competition has a misting bottle. They mist on the meat products while they're smoking. Smoke loves moisture and adheres to it. So he's adding moisture and he's adding flavor as he's cooking that lean cut of meat. Fat side down, and he's adding moisture and flavor to it, and he's a scientist, and that's exactly what we've been preaching this whole year is that misting bottle. So that man's adding German beer. He's probably adding a little Worcestershire in there, Worcestershire in there, and maybe a drop or two of liquid garlic or something like that, and he's misting on top of those racks of ribs, and he's adding moisture, he's adding flavor, and he's adhering the smoke better. What a man. What a man that guy is.
Boris, you're the man. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Matthew emailed to ask if you have any tips on grilling a wild turkey for Thanksgiving. I guess Matthew got lucky over the hunting season.
Yeah, Merrill, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, okay. That's still going to come out. But, the big thing is that you definitely got to oil the bird, for one thing.
Exactly.
And check on the temperature all the time. But it's actually the same principle. I always find the wild turkey is a little bit more on the tougher side. It's good, but I would sort of slow cook it. But just definitely just rub it with oil, season it with your favorite seasoning, and just go to it.
I would treat it almost like a different type of brisket. I would slow cook it for the 15 minutes a pound indirect method cooking. But about right when it reaches, instead of 165, when it reaches 145 on the breast, when it's 130-something in the thighs or whatever it is, I'd wrap it in foil and seal it up and then slow cook it again, offset it, and let it slow cook to steam down the rest of the way. Do the little principle that you do with a brisket.
Yeah.
Only do it with that wild bird. I bet she'll work out good.
Yeah. Would you ever marinate one of those?
You can. There's nothing wrong with it. You can do injectables with it, too. You can definitely marinate it.
A good way.
Yeah, injectables. Yeah, I think that would be a good way. Keith and Madison, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, on pellet grills and turkey smoking, turkey cooking, actually, we like doing the tandoori spice with ours.
Oh, so you have tandoori spice.
Well, with cold tandoori spice, you take a quarter cup of extra virgin olive oil and 2 tablespoons of tandoori spice and put that under the skin. We'll do a turkey breast and like a 9-10 pound turkey breast. And then I'll cold smoke that at 180 on the pellet grill for like 3 hours. Yeah. And I'll baste it every half hour with a mix of 75% apple juice and 25% water. And it makes a nice coating on it, seals it real good. And then after the 3 hours, I'll bring it up to temperature and finish it off in that, and it just comes out fantastic.
I bet. So do you use a meat thermometer and take it off like a 165 or something?
I go 170, 175, actually. I'll take it off.
Good for you. Yeah. That's good. Yep.
That sounds
the one thing about the pellet grills is that you could just, you can start cold smoking at 180, then, crank it up higher. But that's the fun part thing that I do like about the pellet grill.
Appreciate the call. Somebody else is wondering, have you ever done romaine lettuce on the grill?
Mr. Merrill's favorite recipe.
We do it for television. If you like it, fine. I've done romaine lettuce plenty of times. I really personally don't like it, but I will do it for people that want me to do it. And you just rub it with a little bit of oil. It's a quick cook what you want to do. But you do that maybe 2 to 3 minutes on each side. That's it. I don't like it. Other people love it.
but you cook it real fast. You oil it. You cook it real fast. You have a bruschetta ready. So you put tomatoes and garlic and Parmesan cheese grated over the top, and you serve it up maybe with a little drizzle more of vinaigrette. And you know what? Yeah, it's edible.
Yeah, now you got me hungry for it. I got to do it again. But we've got it plenty of time. It's so bitter.
Isn't there something you can do to kind of contrast that bitter?
A bottle of Chardonnay.
No, 2 bottles of Chardonnay.
And no lettuce.
Now you're talking. It's fine. I mean, I've done it. It's sort of like the same thing. I don't want to get into it. It's like doing chestnuts on the grill. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't. That's the same thing with the romaine lettuce.
Yeah, well, and romaine lettuce, for some reason, it reminded me of Brussels sprouts, which I like Brussels sprouts.
Sure.
And you guys, how do you grill Brussels sprouts?
They're just baby cabbages is all they are. And we glisten them with an oil. You can season them a little bit, and some of the seasoning stays on because you oiled it. And you literally toss them on a medium direct heat and char them a little bit and keep them going, roll them around. Literally like when a cake is done, I take a toothpick and I stick it through. And if it pierces through nice and soft, it's ready. And, man, I'll tell you what, you serve that with some butter and a little extra seasoning, and it's delicious. They really are. They're the same with all the vegetables in the world. You just put them right on the grates of the grill. They're individual flavors. They're not a stock pot of 8 or 9 different vegetables that you can't taste which is which. Grilling's a great way to do veggies on the grill.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I really like Brussels sprouts. And my daughter, Emily, does too.
Yeah, whole carrots are phenomenal that way too. The same principle. They look charred on the outside. That little tip is kind of burnt, and you kind of like say, well, but then everybody loves that little area. But when the thickest part is done with the toothpick, I skewer it through, man, just to oil it, season it, direct method of cooking, just low heat, just treat it gently, but cook them, and they're just delicious.
They are, yeah.
Well, have you got any other recipe? There's one that I want to ask you about, but first, have you got any other favorite recipes that you would do for Thanksgiving?
Well, hey, one thing I did yesterday, and it came out phenomenal. I was given a whole bunch of pears off a tree. Imagine that, they came off a tree. but they weren't store bought, and they were in some nice little vineyard, a nice little orchard of pears. and I cut them in half. I hollow out the center area, so I got a pocket. And I did this the night before, believe it or not. And I squeezed them all with lime real quick so they wouldn't turn on you, oxidate. I put them in a Ziploc baggie. I threw like about a half a cup over the of sugar, half a cup of sugar over the top of them, cinnamon and nutmeg, and I shook the dickens out of that baggie. And that created a almost slow cooked them in that sugar, and they were nice and soft. Plus the acid of the lime probably helped cook them. And so they were actually, and I turned them pocket side up, and I took some Door County cherry pie filling, country ovens, and I popped a plopped in each one of those pockets, and we just set them on the grates of the grill upright and slow cooked them for about 20 minutes. And they turned out just delicious. They really were.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Martha in Menominee has something before I ask you my question. Martha, hi.
Hey, so I'm going to win over your guest who's like ambivalent about the romaine grilled.
Okay.
Okay, split them in half lengthwise. Brush a little olive oil on both sides. Grill the flat side first.
Yep.
And then, okay, if it gets a little black, flip them over. You know, like you said, a minute or two. Flip them over, and then in the creases of the flat side, you put some blue cheese.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah, you load it up, baby. Load that stuff up.
Yeah.
Close the grill cover. Let all that blue cheese melt. Pop the grill cover open again. Scoop them off and drizzle those babies with a little balsamic vinegar. You're in heaven, honey.
Oh,
so try it. And enjoy.
Sounds good.
Three bottles of Chardonnay.
Oh, Martha, you sound like a person after my own heart. I'd love to eat your romaine lettuce for sure. I'm going to have to try that because I'm inspired to do romaine on the grill.
Do it. I mean, that's fun. Like I've done it mainly for like on television and stuff, but it's that sounds good. What's thinking about it? I love blue cheese too.
Yeah, I do too. That's why
not melted. See, I wouldn't like that. Two out of three people don't like. Two out of three people like it. The third one don't.
Have you ever done an apple pie? That's my question. Have you ever grilled an apple pie?
You know, we've seen so many pictures of people's dang apple pies they've done. You know, whenever we're done with a stage show, we get bombarded with people showing them their briskets or pork shoulders or apple pie. We got to see Razor Oysters out, and we were out in Eugene, Oregon 2 weeks ago, Meryl and I, for a home show. We got to see gorgeous Razor Oysters, like the size of softballs.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
They look great. They really, really did. I mean, that's the fun thing of people come and show us, you know, what they've cooked and everything. I'll steal Mad Dog Center, which he comes up with, which I think you should talk about, is doing the sweet potatoes, sliced sweet potatoes, and make a sweet potato pie out of it. I'll shut up and let you tell him how to do it, sir.
Larry, I can only say that if I can also say one more thing that Meryl and I work our butts off, you know, for self-employed for 40 lovely years. We're going to be at the Fox River Mall in Appleton, Wisconsin, starting next Thursday, and we don't leave that spot until Christmas with beautiful gift boxes. We get these tote bags with our name on that the gift boxes go in. We've got UW Mad Dog and Merrill diplomas being made right now that everybody becomes a certified grillologist. So we give a diploma with each one of these gift boxes at the Fox River Mall in Appleton. We start next Thursday. We're there every day. We got all our sauces, all our spices. We have three beautiful habanero sauces coming out. We've got these tumblers that everybody's in love with, those 20-ounce glass tumblers, metal tumblers with our beautifully decorated wrap with the Midwest grilling with Matt, with our pictures on there and stuff like that. So it's well worth the drive to the Fox River Mall to come and see us. We got them until Christmas time gift boxes. What a great holiday gift package.
Oh, it sounds great. You know what? We're now out of time. So we're going to have to save the sweet potato recipe for another time. Oh, Mad Dog and Merrill and their TV show, Mad Dog and Merrill Midwest Grillin', and you can type that into the search engine. You're going to find the station near you that carries that and the time of the day. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it very much.
Mad Dog and Merrill, they'll be back. Of course, they're always so serious. It's hard to have them on when they're so serious. But they're always fun, aren't they? I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. Tomorrow, it's Garden Talk. Aaron Presley, I almost said Elvis Presley. It's Aaron Presley from the Olbrich Botanical Gardens will be back to talk about herbs and taking your other gardening questions. That's tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, thanks for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.